Praise the Lord. Hey, good y'all are here. Welcome those of us that are online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Revelation song with Holy, Holy, Holy.
Mystery. Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you, the mountains they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I give my praise to you. And I give my praise to you. I will worship
us a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I live henceforth to give, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, whatever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction or loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile, seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Sorry, I messed up on a few lyrics there. Well, praise the Lord. It is well with my soul, right? That was one of the... Yeah, it is well with my soul. That was a pick a hymn request we had. So, yeah. Page 705, It Is Well With My Soul.
Oops. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to do another pick of him? Sharon has one? Okay. 581. All right, let's see what's... 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 581. That's a good one.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, that ought to get her going. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Good to have you with us online tonight. Amen, amen. Do we have any praises tonight? Praises, testimonies, praises. Anybody? Had a good Sunday school class, all right. Amen. Very good, good Sunday school class. Way to go. All right, what else, what else? Other praises, testimonies? Anybody else? All right. All right, prayer needs. Prayer requests. Barbara McNew? She got stage 3 kidney failure. Yeah. Stage 3 kidney failure.
Okay, that prayer request was for
Barbara McNew. McNew. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, stage 3 kidney failure. We got that. Man, all right, what else? Want to continue to pray for those folks in Ukraine?
Yes, sir.
Pray for rain.
We might get some tomorrow.
Yeah, boy, the rest of the out west, they need it bad. New Mexico governor has declared state of emergency. They got 20 wildfires going in New Mexico right now. So pray for New Mexico. Pray for rain out west. We need it. Yeah, tree growth, rain, you name it. Yeah, I was looking at, I think it was Home Depot. I was needing some drywall tape, and just the old pine studs are $4.96 a piece. And then you round the corner. I guess it's fur. I don't know what it is. I'm assuming it's fur. It looks a little bit straighter and a little bit nicer than pine. $6-something dollars for a stud. Ooh. Yeah, it's getting pricey, boy. Getting pricey. But the drywall tape was still $2.75 for 250 feet. Yeah, man. Stock up on it. Yeah, man, that drywall tape was.
It'd be nice if you could build a house on drywall, but
I'll tell you what. Now, the mud went up, drywall mud went up, but the tape was still pretty reasonable. All right, all right. Yeah. What else? So, yes, sir.
The unspoken.
Unspoken.
Unspoken. And I got another one.
All right.
I want to pray for Anna, a friend of mine's mother, Dottie, who's her Medicare run out. She's the one that had the stroke. The lady, you know, my brother-in-law's mother-in-law.
Yeah, Dottie.
Anyway, the Medicare is about to run out, so they're going to have to move her to another place. And, Medicare, Medicaid? Oh, what is it? Medicaid.
Medicaid.
You got it, brother.
All right.
Anyway, she's not liking that either.
And she's a stroke victim?
Yes, sir. And she's got most of it coming back, but she has a problem with swallowing and her bowel movement. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not all there yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And they do want to pay for Robert, and that's my daughter's father-in-law. He's still fighting that being put in the home.
Yes.
He just wants to go home.
Man. Right.
He just can't go because he's got so many things wrong. I just pray for him to settle into that.
Okay. What else? Anybody
pray
else?
For Ronnie.
Ronnie's eyes. Yes.
I guess he had a better week now that he's on medication. Yeah, last couple of days.
Amen. Okay. All right, Ronnie's
and,
eyes.
And David Colmorgan, Collmor. GEN, possible cancer.
And how do you spell that again? Cold?
Colmorgan, yeah.
Collmorgan.
David. He's one of
Colmorgan.
Our volunteer Christian builders.
Cancer. Possible cancer. Volunteer Christian builders. All right. What else?
And I know you mentioned this morning about your children putting you in an empty nesting situation, but you know, we still need to be praying for our children.
Oh yeah, amen.
And you know, that they would lean on the path of righteousness.
Yeah, make good decisions.
Yes, sir. And you know, granted, we recognize as parents that they're accountable for their choices.
Yes.
But we need to continue to pray for them.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
My kids.
All right. Bobby's kids. All right.
I guess we pray for the church, attendance. You know.
Yeah, amen.
Get people to get back in church. I know they might be watching it online, but I sure would like to have them back in church. Amen. Fellowship.
Amen.
You know.
Outstanding. Very good.
Let's not forget Virginia and...
Virginia and Lily, yep.
Lily's comforting for that family. I guess there is still a Mrs.
Yes.
That is surviving.
Yeah, he has surviving.
I assume she's up in age, too. So.
Yes. Virginia,
right.
Lily.
Okay.
And Willie's widow. Amen. All right. Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the season, Lord, and Father God, we're praying for rain here tomorrow. But Lord, we pray as that cold front moves across the country, it might fire off some rain into Mexico and the desert southwest. Lord, we pray for these folks out west that normally get some rain, not had any, and in severe drought, Lord, we just pray you might bring some refreshing rain to that parched, dry ground out west, and Lord, bring some rain here locally. Lord, you tell us if we have need, we need to bring the need to you. You have not because you ask not. Lord, we're asking. We're pleading for some rain around here. We're praying for rain out west, Lord, to quiet these wildfires down and loss of property and loss of life. So, Lord, we lift that up to you. We are giving you praise tonight for Bible study, Lord, good Sunday school class, and thank you for that blessing today and in James's class. We lift that up to you. We lift up Barbara McNew to you tonight, Lord, and we pray you might touch her body and give her her kidney doctor wisdom and discernment how to best treat her with a stage 3 kidney failure. Pray that you might just help her through that. Continue to pray for the country of Ukraine. And, Lord, we pray for their protection. We pray for their land, and we pray for their democracy. We just pray that you might help them stand against the tyranny, stand against the evil, the expansionism, the pariah state of Russia. or that they'd be able to stand and withstand and get the Russians off their sovereign land. So, Lord, we lift those people up to you. Pray that you just help them spare as many Ukrainian lives as possible. Lord, we know freedom is not free, and we know that, Lord, democracy's cost people's lives, cost people's livelihood. Lord, we pray you help them stay the course and that Russia would relent and retreat. Lord, we lift up these unspoken prayer requests to you tonight. Lord, we're thankful that we can bring them back to you. As I mention these things, folks that have these unspokens, whether watching us online or here in person, can just begin to lift those up to you silently tonight, Lord, and we're thankful that we can do that. We're thankful that you hear us, and Lord, when we don't know how and what to pray, that you make intercession on our behalf. So we praise you and we thank you for that tonight. We lift up Dottie to you tonight, Lord, a stroke survivor. And Lord, as she transitions to different places for rehab, Medicaid running out, Lord, we pray that you just might continue to see her through. And Lord, just give her a good recovery from this stroke. Give her back most, if not all, Lord, of the things that she's lost in the stroke. We pray your healing hand upon her. We pray for Robert, Lord, in fighting this nursing home situation where he has to live. We pray that you just might calm his spirit, his anxiety. Give him peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Let him accept what is now his reality. And Lord, we pray that he would just ease in and just become used to being there in that transitional living facility. We lift up Ronnie's eyes to you tonight, Lord. We pray your healing hand upon his eye. And we're thankful for these steroid drops that are going in the eye, Lord. We just pray they'd continue to work. But Lord, we pray you might touch that eye. We pray you get to keep that eye, not lose it. And Lord, we just pray your healing hand upon Brother Ronnie and in his eye at this time. We lift up, David Colemorgan to you, Lord, and this possible cancer that he might have. We pray you touch his body, be with his physicians as they best try to diagnose him, Lord, and try to make sense of what's going on in his body. But Lord, we lift David up to you tonight. Lord, we do pray for our kids and our grandkids and those younger people that we love and try to help. Lord, we pray that they would lean upon you, not their understanding, but your word, Lord, and they would pray through big decisions, and Lord, they think about their daily actions. And so, Lord, we just pray for our kids and our grandkids. And Lord, we lift up Bobby Coons' children to you tonight. We pray that you'd continue to mend those relationships and bring reconciliation, Lord. And Father God, as we close out our prayer time tonight, we are lifting up our church attendance. Lord, we know that the Sunday after Easter can be a low day, and it certainly was here, and it certainly was in several other churches across the area. But Lord, we pray that the attendance might come back. People might begin to desire to be here in person. And Lord, we pray that our doors would remain open so that the gospel, the word of God, would continue to go forth. We lift these things up to you tonight, Lord, and we just praise you and thank you for your goodness and your grace. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You'll take a copy of God's word and turn to the book of Revelation. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the word of God. We're in Revelation chapter 20. We'll begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 10. We're trying to get through these first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 20. We've been working on it for two Bible studies. This will be our third one. And we seek to make some headway tonight. So Revelation chapter 20, those of you with us online, Revelation 20, and we'll begin here reading in verse 1. If you found it tonight, say amen. Word of God reads, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and fired them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank you all for standing. In honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, what we've already covered is this. We said Satan is removed for a time. That's basically what's going on in these first three verses. We talked about on Wednesday night the demotion, right? The demotion of the devil. And then we got into the death and the removal of the rebels. We talked about, man, what do you do with these people, you know, that are lost, that didn't die in the battle of Armageddon? What happens to them? We talked about that goat judgment referenced in Matthew. I told you how I was kind of growing in my own theology. I thought that judgment in Matthew was dealing with the great white throne judgment. After studying this and kind of linking these things together, that judgment in Matthew may indeed be the goat judgment that is happening here as Jesus comes back, that second coming. So the death and the removal of the rebels. Then we said we see another angel in the first three verses. We ask the question, who is it, right? The identity of the angel whom John saw coming down from heaven to bind Satan, it's not disclosed to us, right? But we talked about how this figure, how this angel may very well be the archangel Michael, who has been, from the Old Testament on, the great adversary of Satan, or Satan is his great adversary, however you want to say it. Evidence of Michael and Satan's adversarial relationship are found in a few places in the Bible. We talked about Revelation 12, 7. We talked about going back to Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, Daniel 12, 1, and then we mentioned Jude, verse 9. We said whoever the angel is, he possesses great power. I mean great power. Talks about how in verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon. He just laid hold of him. I mean, he's a powerful angel, whatever angel he is, right? Great power. He is sent to earth with a specific agenda. We talked about this. To seize Satan for the 1,000-year duration of the kingdom, to bind him, to cast him into the abyss, and to seal it, right? And then release him at the end of the 1,000 years. We ask the question, how are we to understand the term abyss in this passage? Well, it's not hell yet. It's a holding place. It's not hell, it's a holding place. We did say it's not Club Med. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go on a vacation in the abyss. We said the prisoners in the abyss that are there now are among the most vile and evil of all demons. And we talked about some different groups that are there. The first group, 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20, we said, the Word of God reads in 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. We said those demons also are in this abyss who attempted to corrupt the human race by cohabitating with human women per Genesis chapter 1 through 4. They will never be released. Jude verse 6 reads, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So we ended it saying this on Wednesday night. We said they, talking about these demon spirits in the abyss, they will be transferred directly from their temporary incarceration in the abyss to their permanent place of punishment, the lake of fire. Now, as we begin this evening, we've been talking Wednesday night, ended it talking about these demons. We kind of begin that way as we get into what we're talking about tonight. There are plenty of demons to go around in the book of Revelation. You will remember, just a point of review, you'll remember other demons sentenced to the abyss will be released at the fifth trumpet judgment to torment sinners. That was in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Now, as we think about all the demon horde, the demon host, and all that stuff going on, in verse 1, back to the angel, in verse 1, the key given to the angel by God signifies what? It signifies his delegated authority. All right? Verse 9:1 also refers to that. He has the power to open the abyss, the angel, right? And then to shut the abyss after casting Satan inside of it. The metaphor here of binding demons with a chain, binding this devil with a chain, also appears in Jude verse 6. This chain has got to be one great chain because of Satan's greatness and power as the highest created being that God has ever made. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. So it's got to be some kind of chain. It's some kind of authoritative key. This is some kind of big-time angel. Who do we think it is? Pastor Lee thinks it's the Archangel Michael. Could it be somebody else? Absolutely it could, but that's what I think Scripture points there. Because of the angel's great authority, he laid hold of Satan, who is unmistakably identified by the same four titles given to him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. First, he's called the dragon, all right? And he laid hold of the dragon. I'm in verse 2 is what I'm dealing with. First, he's called the dragon, a title given him 12 times in the book of Revelation. 12 times he's called the devil, Satan is called the dragon. The title dragon emphasizes his bestial nature, his ferociousness, and oppressive cruelty. That's what that term is referring to. Second, he is called the serpent of old. Now we're going all the way back. Takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I've told you that the Bible is cyclic. It's circular. It's all tied together. Here we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and Satan's temptation of Eve. Third, he is called the devil, which means slanderer or the malicious gossip, an appropriate title for the accuser of our brethren, which he is called in Revelation 12, verse 10. Finally, we have the name and Satan. Talks about and Satan, which means he is a malignant liar. In fact, he is the pinnacle when it comes to lying. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "You are the father of the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar," and the Word of God says, the Apostle John 8, 44, says, "He is a liar and the father of lies." You look at the Greek word for Satan, it's Satanus. That's the Greek for Satan, from which we get Satan out of. The Hebrew root is very similar. It's ha-satan in the Hebrew. These two words, the Greek equivalent and the Hebrew equivalent, are used 53 times in your Bible, in Scripture. Both words mean exactly the same thing. The Hebrew root and the Greek term mean exactly the same thing. Both words mean adversary. Adversary. Since Satan opposes God, and he opposes Christ, and he opposes all believers, all of us, right? Now, the length of the period for which the dragon, the devil, the serpent of old, Satan, the length of period which Satan will be bound is defined as how long, folks? 1,000 years. This is what the Bible says. It just keeps saying it over and over again, chapter 29. I think we said it says that about 6 times in these 10 verses. 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Keeps king on that 1,000 years. This term, 1,000 years, is the first of 6 precise and important references to the duration of the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign. Satan's binding poses, remember those post-millennialists and those all-millennialists that we talked about? Satan's binding, when Jesus comes back, poses a serious difficulty for both of these groups, post-millennialists and all-millennialists. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, remember what the all-millennialists argue. They argue that Satan is already bound. That's what they say. They say Satan is already bound since they believe that we're in the millennium right now. No, though they do not view the millennium as a 1,000 literal years in length, they believe that we're already in it and Satan is already bound. Many post-millennialists also believe that Satan is presently already bound, because otherwise it is difficult for them and their thinking and their theology to see how the church could usher in the millennium, because post-millennialists don't believe that Christ is going to usher it in, the church is going to usher it in. Things are going to get better and better and better until Christ just kind of steps, you know, the church just kind of ushers in the millennium and here comes Jesus, right? That's kind of how they see it. Yet the biblical description of Satan's activity in this present age makes it impossible to believe that he's already been bound. Are you tracking with me there? Satan plants today, right here, right now, Satan plants lying hypocrites in the church, per Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Satan, he schemes against believers, per 2 Corinthians 2:11 and Ephesians 6:11. He disguises himself as an angel of light to deceive people, per 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan, he attacks believers, per 2 Corinthians 12:7, Ephesians 4:27. And in this present age, we are instructed that we as believers must do what? That we must resist the devil, right? Per James chapter 4, 7. Well, if he was bound, we wouldn't have to resist him, would we? I mean, if he was bound. But he's not bound right now. He hinders those in the ministry, per 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:18. And he leads believers astray, per 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. Now, are all millennialists and post-millennialists, they generally argue that Satan was bound at the cross and that his binding simply means that he can no longer deceive the nations and keep them from learning God's truth. Well, on its face, that is terrible reasoning. That is awful reasoning, because Satan did not keep the Gentile nations from the knowledge of the truth before his alleged binding at the cross. The Egyptians heard about the true God from Joseph and from the Israelites during the 400 years they lived in Egypt. The Assyrians of Nineveh not only heard the truth from Jonah, but also repented. Amen? Right? The Queen of Sheba heard about the true God from Solomon from 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. The Babylonians from Daniel and his Jewish friends. And the Persians heard about the one true God from Esther and Mordecai and Nehemiah. On the flip side to that, in what sense is Satan restrained from deceiving the nations in the present age? He is binding the minds of unbelievers, per 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is now working in the sons of disobedience, per Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And he holds unbelievers captive, per 2 Timothy 2:26, in his kingdom, spoken of in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The application is simply this. The testimony of Scripture is that Satan is anything but bound in the present age. But the application and the testimony of Scripture is that he will be bound during the coming earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will be, when he's bound, incarcerated in the abyss, which will be shut and sealed so that he cannot deceive the nations any longer. Satan's activity in the world will not merely be restricted or restrained, but totally curtailed. He will not be permitted to influence the world in any way. Now, I'm going to give you a question for thought for Wednesday night, for those of you that come back, for those of you that watch online for Wednesday night. A question for thought. In the millennial kingdom, the saved people who survive the tribulation and their offspring and subsequent generations, will they have the ability to sin? Just think that through. We'll cover it Wednesday night. Amen? Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you that we could make a little more headway through it. Lord, we seek to want to understand it. We seek to want to apply it to our lives. We seek to want to take it out of these four walls and sow it, Lord, broad and wide as we go through our day, as we go through our lives. Lord, help us understand and have a better sense and have a better intuition and a better expectancy, Lord, that you're coming back. That you'll be rapturing your church, and there'll be 7 years of tribulation. And then, Lord, at the conclusion of that time, you will step foot on this earth to reign here for 1,000 years in your millennial kingdom. Redemptive history is looking forward to it, Lord. And all believers, we look forward to that time. We look forward to that time when Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. We praise you and thank you for your truth, Lord. Be with those that we know that need to make decisions for Christ. May we be encouragers and may we be lovers of those people, seeing them as your creation, not judging them for their lostness and not judging them for their sin, but, Lord, holding out to them the love of Christ, the gospel message. Help us get the truth into their hearts by your word. Lord, may the Holy Spirit use us. May the Holy Spirit use us in great power to bring salvation to those that are lost. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. Thank you, folks online. We'll see you back here next time. God bless you.